Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Tony Paradiso is our guest and our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. Tony spent most of his career working with people, helping them put their best foot forward, either through marketing or through managing their folks. He's the author of a book that has become one of my favorites, The Management Minefield, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. He's our good friend, Tony Paradiso. Welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning and happy holidays to all your listeners.
Yeah, and back to you too. Tony, one of the things that people like you and I are want to do from time to time, people who write and who think we have something to say, is typically at the beginning of the year, we sort of reflect back on what's happened and you know, just sort of publish some ideas on what happened and what we think is going to happen. For me, not this week, but next week, I'll be publishing not only my predictions for 2004, but a recap of what I predicted for 2003 and how well I did. I got to actually come up with a scorecard to see how well I did,
I applaud you for actually going back to see how your track record. Most people that do predictions, they ignore the past.
Oh no, that's where all the Tony, that's where all the fun is. You know me, I'm always laughing at myself. In fact, I've said before, if I don't laugh at myself, I miss some of the best laughs of my life.
There you go.
But no, I do. I go back, and I've been doing this for several years, and I go back and point out where I missed it, and the truth, what's good, though, what's really fun is I've been right more than I've been wrong. So that's really fun when I get to say that. But you also have your own list, you have your own name for it, but the way I have observed it, I kind of think of it as the Hall of Infamy, and especially with regard to corporate ethics, corporate behavior. But give us the name for it.
Yes, like every good publication, you have to have your list of winners and losers at the end of the year. So I invented my own, and I call them the Empty Awards, which really connotes the empty suit. Anyone that's ever worked in the business world knows what empty suit means. Basically, it's a person in management that succeeded in spite of their own talent without actually contributing anything to the company. So I thought the empty was a good title for these awards,
right?
Which are given to people that succeed despite being devoid of talent. And when I say succeed, I mean that they personally enrich themselves at the expense of the company that they're theoretically retained to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And they also recognize people who have taken unethical and self-serving behavior to new plateaus. So it's a really very distinctive award.
Well, it is. I think that's a great title. I like that. It plays on the Emmys or the Oscars or something like that. What are some examples let's talk about some of these people who you've, and have you already awarded these people? You've already given them their awards.
No, did they accept
graciously?
All the time. Yeah. I don't think many of them are aware of it.
I think you should send it to them.
Yeah, that may be a good idea.
Yeah.
Send a few emails out. Well, last year, I'll give you an example. Last year, Michael Capellas, now the CEO of MCI, He won an empty for the fact that he completely lacked vision in guiding Compaq, which he eventually sold to Hewlett-Packard.
Mm-hmm.
But he had enough foresight to cut a deal that paid him $14 million to walk away from the company.
Ah.
So that definitely warranted an empty.
But, you know that's kind of a minor situation. I mean, if you think about it, these guys, $14 million is not really that big a package anymore, is it?
No, it probably all he could negotiate under the circumstances because he was being acquired. So.
Right, right.
But it was done, the sad fact of it is it was done as the negotiations for the acquisition were occurring, so he was negotiating his own exit from there and paying himself. Yeah, $14 million is kind of small change to a lot of these guys, but still rather unethical. Of course, Martha Stewart won for the most bonehead lie.
Oh, man. It still hard for me to believe what she did. Do you have those numbers in front of you, how much she stood to gain if she had gotten away with that? It's just like, what, $4 or $5 million or something like that?
Yeah, no, it was even less than that. She only owned 4,000 shares of Inclone, and had she not sold, she would have lost $4,000.
Okay, what we know about it, folks, in case you don't know the story, Martha Stewart's had some stock in, I'm trying to remember the name of the company.
Inclone,
that's right, you said it. I'm sorry, Inclone, exactly. And she got word, apparently, allegedly, she got word that the stock was going to take a hit because of some bad news. And so she sold based on that insider information, and she stood to gain, maybe a few thousand dollars. But she wound up virtually taking down her billion-dollar-plus organization.
Yeah, she ended up losing, at this point in time, half of her net worth because the stock of her her own company is gone down dramatically.
But never mind her, Tony. Look at this. Look at the people who believed in her and who invested in her company, who worked for her, who staked their ethics and their careers, their professionalism on her as a personal brand. Look at the people who lost because of that. I mean, I don't care
absolutely.
About her.
Yeah, absolutely. And she'll be going to trial within a couple of weeks, so that'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Right. So she got an empty.
She got an empty.
All right. I agree with that.
So this year's winners include, I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with Frank Quattrone, but he was the... Mm-hmm. He was the investment banker that was put on trial, one of the very few Wall Street guys put on trial for all this initial public offering chicanery that was going on. And he actually became the first double winner of an empty.
he's a repeat winner or a double winner?
No, he won two awards this year.
That's like the hat trick in awards business, isn't it?
Almost. Yeah. He won for being the most modest Wall Street executive and for being the most highly educated person that didn't know what a grand jury did.
Hang on, Tony. We got to take a quick break. I can't wait to find out why you called him modest. Right after these messages, folks, we'll find that out. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tony Paradiso is our guest and our good friend. Tony, give us your website, please.
My website's www.paramarconsulting.com. That's all one word, P-A-R-A-M-A-R.
And go to, folks, when you get to Tony's website, go to the Candidly Speaking link, and that's where you can find the list of Tony's empties. And not Emmys, they're empties. And this is the play on the empty suit analogy, and these are people that he likes to give a little bit of the needle to, and I'm glad to see you doing that. Okay, now why is Quattrone? Why is he the most? What did you call him? The most humble,
the most
modest
Wall Street executive.
Yeah, why?
Well, Frank Quattrone worked for Credit Suisse first, Boston, and he was the guy behind most of the high tech IPOs. You know, the ones that would go out and go to 200 the first day. And now are worth about 12 cents?
No, or nothing. Like the one where there was one that in 1999 they went public on a Friday and their website wasn't even going to be up. I mean, it was an internet company. You can only do business with them online. But on the day that they went IPO, you couldn't even do business with them yet. Their website wasn't going to be ready for a week.
Those kinds of deals. He probably was the single largest contributor to the internet bubble of any individual. And he was brought up on obstruction of justice charges because he sent out an email internally suggesting to his people that they clean up their files. when he knew an investigation was pending. The jury hung, unfortunately, and they're going to retry him. But he claimed he didn't have any control over the rest of the organization, that he was just this little investment banker and he did his thing. And that's why I gave him the award for modesty, because he didn't want to take credit for the fact that he completely controlled that whole operation at CSFB, including research and the allocation of IPO stock. So I just thought that was that was really a very modest thing for him to have done. Of course, it helped get him off the hook.
Tony, we got about 4 minutes. Who would be the top two or three in your list? I see Scrushy on here. Surely,
the mutual fund industry collectively gets an empty for the most unique interpretation of the classic story Robin Hood. In a skimming operation that I think would make the Gambino family jealous, they managed to systemically steal from the poor to give to the rich. Which I thought was was an interesting take on Robin Hood. So they clearly,
and of course, tell us the specifics of why you think that.
Well, what the mutual fund industry did is they allowed market timing and late trading for these big hedge funds, and hedge funds are investment groups of wealthy people.
Now, do you really think the industry itself, the entire broad macro industry, deserves that award?
Yes.
As opposed to just a few companies?
Yeah, it turns out that the more they look, the more they realize that this was a systemic problem going on. I'm not saying that all the mutual funds, clearly not all the mutual funds, but it was more than just an isolated one or two.
Right.
This was a systemic problem. And now it's expanded not only to this market timing and late trading, but also the fees and carrying charges that they're finding out that were not fraudulent but deceptive.
This is where trading was the information was known late in the day, right?
The late trading was allowing people to trade after hours. The market timing allowed people to get in and out quickly. Now, mutual funds are not designed for quick trading.
Right.
And what happens when you do these quick trades is the cost of running the fund goes up, and all of the people that hold shares in the fund end up paying for that. So what happens when these big hedge funds came in and traded, the administrative costs were paid by the little guys, but these big hedge funds made quick money.
Right.
And in the perspective of many of these hedge funds, that was something that they said they would not allow, but in fact that they were allowing.
You also gave an empty to Mr. Grasso, to Dick Grasso, who was the former president of the NYSE.
Lifetime Achievement Award every year. It's the only category that stays constant. I capriciously make these categories up. Your listeners ought to know that. But I thought Dick Grasso did this year deserve the Lifetime Achievement Award for maintaining the status quo at the New York Stock Exchange for over 30 years. I think he did the best job of anyone to maintain the good old boys club at the New York Stock Exchange. All the way up to the classic comment of he confided into one of his friends over the pay flap. He said, this is all going to blow over. Well, didn't quite.
No,
didn't
in fact, I saw the other day that there may be some further action against him.
Yeah, they're trying to get $40 million back from them now.
Right.
Which see, you know what?
That was just something he got recently, if I remember correctly, Tony. And that, now you know why, folks. When Tony said the other guy got $14 million, that I said, you know, that really is kind of small, by Grasso standards, anyway.
Yeah, because Grasso got a package of $187 million.
Right.
For
to walk away.
Compensation over an extended period of time, so
right.
It sounds like a big number. But when you consider his role at the NYSE, and then half his role was as regulator, and he did absolutely nothing to self-regulate the New York Stock Exchange,
right.
He really was lacking in half of his job responsibility.
Tony, I'm going to have to let that be the last word. Thank you for being there to stick your finger in the eyes of these empty suits. I think somebody needs to do it, and you're just the guy to do it. Thank you
for
that.
Well, we're trying to enhance the ethical conduct in the corporate world.
And you do a good job of that, and we're going to get you back on the show real soon, and we'll do some more of this. Thanks, Tony.
I appreciate it. Take
quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.